Here we are again with another episode of Free Basketball, part of the Lee Sports Media Podcast Network. I am your host, Ryan Meadows, and this is the Here's to Hoping tier. Last week, you tuned in to the Under 30 tier, and we're doing kind of the same format today. These are teams 23 through 18 in our team preview ranking list. I did have to split it up again like I did before with Cody and Daniel. Cody was pre-recorded, so I just had to cut and splice between Daniel and Cody's audio. So hopefully I didn't butcher it too bad. Hope you enjoy the episode. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to start with the number 23 team, which is the Minnesota Timberwolves. Last year's record, 23-49, which is good for 13th in the West. Coach is Chris Finch, who took over halfway through the year and went 16-25 in those 41 games that he did coach. All right, rosters for the Timberwolves. Added Patrick Beverley. Didn't really do too much fancy stuff besides that. But they added Patrick Beverley, who I think Timberwolves fans believe is going to give them a veteran presence, you know, a dog-like mentality to a young crew that has playoff aspirations. Do you agree that Patrick Beverley is that guy to give them playoff aspirations?
No, Patrick Beverley is not that guy. I'm sorry.
Does it feel like they brought in Pat Bev because they missed Jimmy Butler's mentality a little bit? Was Jimmy Butler good for Karl Anthony Towns?
No, Jimmy Butler was not good for Karl Anthony Towns. Obviously. Like, that seems like that is a given.
So what is it about this roster? Is it the whole construction of it? Like, it seems pretty thin once you get past four. But there's some interesting players on their roster. Is it the general construction of it as a whole, 1 through 12, that doesn't give you a feeling that they're an actual playoff contender like I think many Timberwolves fans believe they are, and the Timberwolves themselves? Or is it the marquee guys? Is it the top guys that you just not a true believer in?
It's just the top guys aren't very proven, and like I don't think they're making it in the West. Like, they're in the West too. Like, I just don't think they're making it this year.
So is it like D'Angelo Russell? Not sure about Karl Anthony Towns. Like,
yeah, D'Angelo Russell. Like, honestly, I'm more sure about Karl Anthony Towns than I am about anybody else. But like, once again, like, it's kind of the same thing that I used to like have issues with Devin Booker about. Like, it's not fair of me not to be like give Karl Anthony Towns a pass on it. But like, good stats, bad team. Like, until I see it where like he's like the leader on a team and like making good stuff happen, like, and winning, then meh.
Yeah. Just got out of it. But let's talk about the actual starters here, because I have those same questions. Like, D'Angelo Russell was fun with the Nets. Was that about more so it was the Nets in the East?
I think the East was just weak.
Karl Anthony Towns is like, well, he did make the playoffs, but it was with Jimmy Butler. Like, is he just missing? Like, was it some sort of combination with Andrew Wiggins and Jimmy Butler? But I have Anthony Edwards. There's a lot of questions, right? But this starting lineup, our projected lineup, I think, is going to be D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, Malik Beasley coming back from that suspension, I think, will be the starter again. Karl Anthony Towns at the five. The four is where I'm not sure of, because last year, a lot of Jared Vanderbilt in spots with Chris Finch, kind of being the rugged defensive hustle guy. That you seem to have to pair around Karl Anthony Towns right now. And that's kind of been the knock on Karl Anthony Towns, his defense. I feel like he has worked on it and has got moderately better. But he just doesn't seem like a guy that has a super hot motor when he's trying on defense, right? Like, he's saving it for offense. So I'm not sure who to put here at the four, but I'm just going to go with a talent guy that I think is, who had a good rookie year that was kind of surprising to me. That would be an interesting stretch for, and that's Jaden McDaniels. That's who I'm going to slot in here as the starting like four, quote unquote, but he's going to play the wing and it's just going to be five out. I mean, they had an incredible pace last year. I believe the Timberwolves were one of the fastest teams in pace, just getting up and down the floor. Didn't translate into wins, but they played a fun style, right? Let's get in some strengths for this team. what's a strength for you right off the bat, if any, if the Timberwolves have any?
Oh, the Timberwolves have a strength. It's just like, it's just raw talent that they have on the team.
Maybe raw talent that has not been realized yet.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I would say that their strength is potential.
Interesting. Yeah, because I have the same kind of thing. I have 25 and under scoring big three with a question mark at the end. Like Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, D'Angelo Russell has the making of being a scoring big three that is virtually almost unstoppable. The problem is are they going to be able to defend anybody? And I think that's the biggest question, right? Like that's kind of what we're seeing, what we're wanting to see from Anthony Edwards is all the defensive mistakes in his rookie year. Is he going to improve into those or is he going to double down on being a scorer? And is that going to be helpful to playing alongside D'Angelo Russell and Karl Anthony Towns, who are also known for liking to score, but not necessarily wanting to be great on defense or care that much at it. So I think that is a strength because it could be an interesting thing if they're going to run up and down and keep that same pace like they did last year when Chris Finch took over and not really care that much about defense. They're going to score a ton of points. Their points per game is going to be misleading, but will it translate into actual consistent wins? I guess is what we'll see. Areas of improvement, obviously, I had defense, Anthony Edwards progression, and the biggest thing is consistency. Will they be able to consistently win playing at a super high pace, not really caring about defense, and will they have enough bench, right? Right. So is there a area of improvement? You gave a strength. Is there an improvement for you that you could see the Timberwolves that would really help them?
Just like overall, like team cohesion. I think that's like, I don't know, like just like, yeah just like, oh, like consistency actually is what it is. Consistency.
Yeah. Consistency, the big one. I mean, Beasley was out, for that suspension. I mean, Josh Okogie, who's like their defensive stopper guy, has been in and out with injuries. Like this has just been an injury bad luck team. It feels like for 3 or 4 years. They just need some consistency, need a coach that's going to be there for a while. So I'm interested if this playing style is going to be something that they really stick to if they start out slow. Because, you know, that's the biggest death to some of these young teams is they completely change their style and it's just not working for the first 25 or so games and they're just out on it and they give up on the season. So I'm interested to see what they do with that. Finally, the potential surprise playing for the Timberwolves. Who would be your guy?
This is like pretty easy pick, but I think like Anthony Edwards, like if he continues to play at like a really high level, like we saw at the end of last year, then like they could be a really good team.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's kind of really all about Anthony Edwards, the guy that I thought very fringe. May not even play with Malik Beasley coming back, but a guy who had some shining moments in spots when he got rotation playing, and that was Jalen Noel. So he's kind of an interesting, you know, 6'5", 6'6", guard that shot the ball well. So I would be surprised if he didn't get a larger role or more minutes anyways, because I felt like he gained respect and earned those minutes. So I'm kind of looking out for him to have kind of a mini breakout fringe kind of sixth or seventh, eighth man kind of role for the Timberwolves, which would really help them if they really expect to be a team fighting for a play-in spot. Mm-hmm. 22, the Toronto Raptors record last year, 27-45, which was good for 12th in the East. Noted that they had to play all year in Tampa, Florida, and coached by Nick Nurse. Roster, of course. They added Precious Achiuwa in that trade. Kyle Lowry is no longer there. What was kind of your initial thoughts about the Raptors and their offseason that they did have?
Well, I mean, they're obviously rebuilding.
Okay. So they drafted high draft pick Scotty Barnes at 4, which was a surprise to everyone. Everyone expected them. And I'm completely, I take
Jalen Suggs.
Yeah, I was completely blank on his name, Jalen Suggs. Was that a huge surprise to you? Because it actually wasn't to me. I actually bet it.
I mean, congratulations on that bet. That's fantastic. But I mean, it was a shock to me. Like, I mean, you know this. I've liked Jalen Suggs. You know, on the one podcast I did in 2021, I think I mentioned that I liked Jalen Suggs in that podcast. So,
yeah.
Yeah, Jalen Suggs is my guy. So I thought that for sure that, like, you know, especially, you know, with all the rumors about Kyle Lowry and stuff like that, that Jalen Suggs would be going there. They'd trade Kyle Lowry. That would kind of be the changing of the guard there. And then that just was not the case. They went with Scotty Barnes, changed it up on me. But, you know, if there's anybody who knows what they're doing, it's Masai.
Yeah, you can never doubt Masai, right? He's ever since winning that championship, he's kind of infallible, he seems, to this point. Mm-hmm. Everyone loves what he does. And I'm very interested by it because the one thing Toronto has been extremely long and lanky. And they have been one of the most inventive, fun defensive teams. Like, they're not afraid to play zone. They'll play box and one. They'll play triangle and two. They'll full court press. They'll zone diamond press you. Like, they'll do absolutely everything they can under the sun to gain any slight edge, which I think every NBA coach should do. NBA coaches, mm-hmm. I don't think, do it enough because they're afraid to lose their job, especially on teams like that. But Nick Nurse obviously has the green light to do that kind of stuff. So taking Scotty Barnes makes total sense to me. That's why I bet it, because he fits the kind of style that Nick Nurse likes to play with, a 6'9", ultra lanky, long arm, long limbed, super athletic player over a, you know, he had Kyle Lowry, who was great for them, but he's going to draft the exact same player. I mean, it took Kyle Lowry, what, 8 seasons to finally become the guy he was. I don't think he wanted to wait around for that. I think he was and they were enticed by Barnes' abilities right now. Even if he's not a scorer and he's really raw on offense, at least he could probably plug and play in kind of defensive schemes that they want. But going into the projected starters, Fred VanVleet, obviously, OG Anunoby. I have Pascal Siakam down here. I know he has an injury, torn labrum, and will be out a few months, probably miss couple first months of the season. I don't think there's any expectation that he'll miss the entirety of the season, but it might be mid-season before we see him, but he's going to be a starter regardless. And then I think Chris Boucher is going to start. I think he kind of warned that from his play last year. He was kind of a surprise. I know they have Kim Birch, and they like Kim Birch a lot. They re-signed him. The final spot is the one I'm having trouble with, because if Siakam was here, I have it between Scotty Barnes and Gary Trent Jr., but Siakam's not here. Gary Trent Jr. is probably going to start. But I think I would actually start Scotty Barnes just for the length.
Yeah, why not?
And because when Siakam comes back, if I have a lineup that the core of it is OG Anunoby, Siakam, Scotty Barnes, and Chris Boucher, I mean, that length, they could stand beside each other, you know, and, you know, cover half a football field. Mm-hmm. So I'm most intrigued by that lineup. Don't know if it'll actually happen. But what, like, are you all in on, you said they were rebuilding. Are you all in on them going for these tall, long arms, long limbed guys?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's kind of the thing that, like, started with the Warriors, you know, a few years ago. It got, like, it became like the thing, like, oh, all these guys can switch everything, like, on defense. They can, you know, there's no mismatches when they're on defense, because everybody's between like 6'6 and like 6'10 on defense, so everybody right. can just switch everything.
Yeah,
the it doesn't matter who's guarding who.
Yeah, yeah, let's get in some strengths then, because that's part of my strengths. Like, I have in quotes long limbs everywhere, mm-hmm. which may be a bad quote if you read it out of context, but I also have the strength as coaching creativity. I think Nick Nurse is highly regarded and is going to do whatever it takes to win. Like, he's just not a guy that's going to roll over. I'm not saying that every other NBA coach in that situation would. I'm just saying he is the guy who will roll the dice and try it. Mm-hmm. He's not afraid to try it. And the other is three-point attempts. It took a lot of threes last year. I expect them to do the exact same. So I expect them to be a heavy three-point team this year. What kind of strength do you see for the Raptors?
I mean, strength for Raptors is kind of like what you were saying. It's just the length that they have. Like, their defense should be, like, theoretically should be pretty good.
Right.
They have a bunch of guys who are big, who are long, who can defend, like, that are athletes. So there's no reason that their defense should be bad. I mean, they have a lot of guys on that team that, like, you know, they care. So there's a lot of, like, you know, your Fred VanVleet's and guys like that. Like, you have a lot of motor on that team. So, like, I don't know. I think they're going to be they're probably not going to be, like, knocking down the door to win the finals, but they're going to be a respectable team in the East.
Gotcha. I completely agree, because we just don't know how big of an effect that living in Tampa was and not being able to be home for the entirety of your season.
Yeah, you just ask. We got a couple guys we can ask about what it's like living in Tampa for a whole season.
Yeah, but they're not professional players and don't also actually live in Canada.
That's true. Hey, you don't know that.
That's true. I don't know. I'll have to text him. Now, areas of improvement, they were not a great rebounding team. I mean, they got Aaron Baines last year. I think he was supposed to do that, and he was a flop, and I think he got injured. Mm-hmm. And then they didn't really attack the rim, and when they did, they didn't finish. So Siakam, you know, everybody kind of makes fun of Siakam for having, you know, no bag. And he does that one spin move, which is true. That is his move, but he just never finished. So I'll be interested with Fred VanVleet. I mean, I don't really see Fred VanVleet as much of an attacker. And Kyle Lowry, you know, would at spots. But is Scotty Barnes going to kind of be that guy? Are they going to attack the rim? I'd be more interested to see if they do that instead of just being reliant on threes and defense. Potential surprise player for the Raptors. Do you have one?
No. I mean, I was surprised by Scotty Barnes.
So you think Scotty Barnes will be a surprise for them? Do you think he'll actually be good?
I'm just saying I was surprised by it. So he's my surprise player.
I gotcha. Well, mine is Malachi Flynn, who's kind of like the guy in the Fred VanVleet mold. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people, he's on the radar, and he was interesting summer league. Like, he's a gunner. I would expect him, you know, have an interesting scoring role off the bench for the Raptors. So I'm looking for him to take a step forward next year. Number 21, Charlotte Hornets, who last year went 33-39, which was good for 10th in the Eastern Conference, coached by what now newly re-signed, I believe, James Borrego. Roster, really, the additions were Kelly Oubre, drafted James Bouknight, drafted JT Thor, drafted Kai Jones, and they got Ish Smith from the Wizards. Those were kind of the notable ones. Projected starters, LaMelo Ball, Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward, PJ Washington, and my guess for starting five for them, since Cody Zeller is no longer there, is another white guy that they brought in, and that is one Mr. Mason Plumlee.
Got to keep the ratios.
With this lineup I just gave to you, like, they were kind of, the Hornets last year were kind of frisky fun. They were frisky fun until
Gary Terry was back.
Until Gordon Hayward went down. I mean, when I look at Terry Rozier's numbers for last year, you know, he attempted 8 threes per game last year and shot almost 40%.
Yeah, he was good. He was like closing out games. He was not afraid of anything. It was a close game. Terry Rozier had the ball. I believed in him.
We made fun of that contract mercilessly, and he's actually been worth it.
Good.
Who would have thought Kemba wasn't?
I believe Rozier was. Terry for president.
Kemba Walker was not worth it. Well, let me just ask you this. Would you rather have Kemba Walker or Terry Rozier right now?
Terry Rozier.
Woo! Buddy, what a change. What a year can do for you.
What a year can do.
But another year with this frisky lineup, barring no health concerns, which is obviously the biggest red flag with this team.
Right, indeed.
Do you like this team to make the playoffs?
I don't like this team to make the playoffs, but I want this team to make the playoffs.
Why do you not think they're going to make the playoffs?
But for all the reasons we just talked about, like, everybody in the, like pretty, like, there were no, like, real crazy splashy moves over the season that, like, reshaped the face of the league. I mean, like, the Heat got Kyle Lowry, a couple things here and there. Nothing really, like, earth-shattering, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, no Kevin Durant to the Warriors this summer or anything.
Yeah.
So the East is going to be pretty much what it was last year. Okay. Right. So if everyone's healthy and there's not as many injuries last year, well, then I just don't think the Hornets are going to be.
Interesting. Because the Bulls got better, which were one spot behind the Hornets. Uh-huh. Well, we assume the Bulls got better. We haven't got to that preview yet. We might soon. Teaser.
Or have we already done it?
Wink, wink. Or have we are?
Wink.
Wink. Spoiler alert. You know they weren't there. yeah, I, I, I think that's fair because this is a super fun lineup. LaMelo was kind of the surprise of all rookies.
Yeah.
Like, he was awesome. And he's hilarious. Like last year's rookies were hilarious.
He's
like,
great.
And LaMelo, LaMelo's hilarious interview. Anthony Edwards is always a fantastic interview. Mm-hmm. You never know what they're going to say. And when they say, whenever they do say something, it's gold. So they're going to be a lot of fun. Now they kind of bought into this really small ball lineup, which got them a lot of troubles defensively. But they were just a lot of fun. And, but they did lose some key pieces to that. But they kind of filled them with Oubre. You know, I don't know how you felt about James Bookman as a rookie. They took the ultimate gamble on Kai Jones as just a super versatile, not great at anything yet, super athlete from Texas. But Ish Smith is a fun guy off the bench who at times with the Wizards in a couple playoff games, like carried them offensively. So their strengths for me is their versatility. They have a lot of utility guards and wings that are just interchangeable. The problem is the consistency of it. So that's my area of improvement for them. Not only consistency as a whole, like obviously everyone's area of improvement could be health. Like you need health in the NBA to be a good team. But they were more consistently around the basket. They were just not a very good team around the basket. So I'd be interested to see if LaMelo's attacking more. And not just kicking out to, you know, for a three, or if there's going to actually be finishing, like is Terry Rozier going to finish or is he going to take keep taking eight threes a game? Like is PJ Washington going to be able to finish around the basket? Is Gordon Hayward going to finish around the basket? So those are my kind of things. Is there a strength or weakness for you that stuck out?
They're like a real scrappy team. They got a lot of like young talent. They got they got LaMelo Ball, who hopefully is coming back this year 100% healthy, can not break his wrist in the middle of the season or whatever again. Like, you know, you got Terry Rozier. Like, I mean, I hate to say health, but it's health. That's a thing. They got these guys. They just got to stay on the court. Like, you stay on the court, these guys are great. They're fun to watch.
Yeah, that's like, kind of like
– I hate to tip my hand, but this is one of the league pass teams for me this year.
Put him on the list. Oh, we got a dog intruder?
Yeah, these dogs are barking.
Well, that's interesting because being a bunch of utility guards or smaller in size going that small ball, those teams seem to be more injured than other teams who kind of have like the bigger, stockier guys who are maybe not as sexy offensive players, but they're sturdier. Like it's it's just like physical build makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, that is a huge factor. Do you have a player that could be a surprise for the Hornets this year?
A player that could be a surprise for the Hornets. I'm telling you, I feel like people are going to be shocked by him again because they always are. But if Terry Rozier, man,
bump those numbers up to 12 threes a game.
Every time he's good, people are like, "Whoa, didn't expect this out of Terry Rozier." And like every time he gets like significant playing time and like. The ball, he's good. Like, give him the ball and like clear out. Let him get to work, man. And everyone's always like, this guy's good. Every time it happens, scary Terry. Yeah. Every time it happens, people are like, what? So he's my guy to look out for.
I like it. I'm gonna go with the wild card pick that they took in Kai Jones because I could see him running pick and rolls with LaMelo and running in transition and having some incredible highlights. He won't be able to do anything else like dribble and chew gum at the same time. But he's going to shoot and hit the top of the backboard, or if he shoots from the corner, he's going to hit the back stanchion of the holds up the backboard, you know,
right.
But he's going to have some incredible athletic, like, in transition or pick and roll dunks that are just going to get everybody excited. So that's the player for me. All right. Now I'm here with Daniel Greer to take over the rest of this. Here's to hoping tier. And we are at the number 20 team in our list, the New Orleans Pelicans, who last year went 31-41, which is good for 11th in the West last year, with ex head coach Stan Van Gundy. Daniel, I know for us Grizzlies fans, the Pelicans have a near and dear special place in our heart. But what before we get into any specifics about the Pelicans, how do you feel about the Pelicans?
I feel like they are practically the same team they were last year. There's not much change. I love JV, Jonas Valanciunas. I think he will be a very good player for Zion. I really do. And I do believe that locker room wise, I do believe that Jonas will be a really good asset. The only issue is he's not even going to be there a year. And maybe he signs long term. I don't know. But the first year, putting your effect on a locker room, it's hard to do as the new guy, right? Because you're trying to learn the ropes before you can kind of implement your veteran leadership. And so I think that they're pretty much the same team. I don't know where they could have gotten better. So I'm down on them this year. No, just because I'm kind of down on Brandon Ingram as well.
Wow. Interesting, because Lonzo Ball, of course, is gone. Right. Got rid of Steven Adams in that swap with the Grizzlies for Jonas Valanciunas, but they did get Devontae Graham. So projected starters, Tomas Satoransky's on this team. I feel like he was on the Bulls last year. He must have been involved in that Lonzo Ball. But I thought it was Lonzo Ball signed with them. Was it a trade? I forgot to look that up.
Yeah, it was a trade.
Okay. For some reason, it felt like they just flat out signed him in the cap. But I guess they did trade him, because when I saw Satoransky was on this team, I was like, wait a second, that can't be right. But projected starters, I think Devontae Graham is going to be the point guard for this team. The two, I'm not really sure where they're going to go with on this. Like, they could start Satoransky, although I feel like he's a bench guy. They still got Garrett Temple, who, you know, old faithful. Everybody thinks he's a shooter when he's not really. Go look at his statistics. It's like one of my favorite misnomers about Garrett Temple is like, oh, you're getting him for the veteran shooting. Like, go shoot. Look at his number. He's like a 33% three-point shooter. All right, so he's not great. I have Trey Murphy, the third, the rookie, as possibly for this. And then I have Nikhil Alexander Walker. So this two spot is real kind of influx me. Do they go with a kind of traditional ball handler here, or do they go more spread with the shooting, quote unquote, from Garrett Temple, or, you know, the dead eye shooting from Trey Murphy? Because of rounding out the rest of the starters, I have Brandon Ingram, of course, Zion, and then you've got to start Valanciunas, I would assume. Do you have any thoughts on who should be playing the two, or how the Pelicans should round out this roster? Should it be spaced versus a veteran presence, or what's your general feeling with the rounding out the starting lineup?
Well, they still have Josh Hart on this team, and he's getting $12 million a year.
Always been a bench player, though. Do you think he starts?
Literally him or Satoransky? Like, are we serious? Like, I'm thinking maybe, like, Satoransky's an okay player, but do I want him on my team? Probably not. Do I want him starting? Absolutely not. Like, dude, he's just he's an okay basketball player, low ceiling, high floor. He's okay, right? He's not going to do much to hurt you, but he's not going to change and do anything that really is going to be a big difference, in my opinion. So I think he's out there. But I don't think he's a great player. If he starts, this team is much worse than they were last year.
Interesting. Because, like, Devontae Graham, I'm interested by the fit of this. Like, I feel like there's been people who slammed it and people are okay for it. Like, Devontae Graham, from what he was, undrafted rookie, to what he's turned himself into, like, he's a useful NBA player, but now there seems to be a little bit of backlash against him. I mean, how do you feel about his fit with Brandon Ingram and Zion versus what Lonzo Ball gave them, who is more of a distributor, you know, passer, quote unquote? And Lonzo increased his three-point shooting last year, but Devontae Graham last year was shooting 38% from three on 9 attempts, and he was just kind of in and out of the lineup from injury last year. Do you like the fit better with Devontae? Or do you think he's too trigger happy for people who need the ball, like Brandon Ingram and Zion?
Yeah, so I like him. And usually if you play on a better team, and not that Charlotte wasn't, you know, a bad team at all, you kind of find your role a little bit. If he can hone in his shooting to where he's just not going up the, you know, the floor and chunking it up, which I felt like he did a lot in Charlotte, I believe that Devontae Graham can be a good asset to this team. Realistically, I think he is a great 6-7 man, but if he's starting, that's okay. I just know that he probably hasn't played alongside a ball dominant player like Brandon Ingram. And even, you know, nobody's really played with a Zion, right? So I think that being able to throw it into the post to JV is an asset because Devontae Graham can then space the floor. So if you're in the post and you have to almost double JV, he is that good. And some people still sleep on him, and I get it. JV one-on-one, I take him 8 out of 10 times just because I believe that he is that good of a player in the post. And so I think that he could be somebody who they benefit from each other, if that makes sense. I think that's the biggest thing that this roster has, is if they can surround JV with shooting, then I think that that will be even better for him, as well as spacing for Zion and so forth. So I believe that that Devontae Graham can be this best benefit when he's closer to JV.
Interesting, because I don't want to go too long about that, because I know we're trying to get through these, but I've already been through three, I think, with Cody. But I do, you do bring up an interesting point that I want to circle back to at the end. But let's get in some strengths for this team, because last year they were an incredible rebounding team. They absolutely murdered people on the offensive glass. And switching Steven Adams for Jonas Valanciunas, who Jonas is an even better offensive rebound and controlled the glass for the Grizzlies. So to me, the strength of this team is definitely going to be rebounding. They'll probably be even better at that this year, which seems like it was impossible to do. But areas improvement, is there one that sticks out for you for the Pelicans?
I would say consistency. And that's okay. Where I feel like they struggled with the most last year. And is it because, you know, they had players that like Ball, like he was inconsistent. And I know Zion was inconsistent at times. So is it the players that were inconsistent? Was it coaching or what is this? I believe that Brandon Ingram, his whole career has been a little bit about inconsistency, because everybody says like he can be this great, amazing player. That is true. He has all the talents in the world. He's a Dookie, right? I love my Dookies. I don't know what it is. I've never fallen in love with Brandon Ingram. And I just don't know if he's, you know, if he's more like Tatum, where he's kind of a front runner. When things are going great, he's the guy you want. But when things aren't going good, you're kind of in the mud, you need somebody to help you out, give you a kind of a hand. I don't think he's there when you need him. And so that's why I never really loved either one of those two guys, even though they are amazing players. The inconsistency from both of them, him and Ingram and Tatum, I compared a lot to each other. So I hope that they can be consistent this year. Actually, who am I joking? I hope they suck, but I think that they will be more consistent this year.
But you know, they'll be at least 3-1 against the Grizzlies.
100%.
No matter how poor they are, they will be at least 3-1. I guess I should have said at the beginning, they were playing, you know, it seems like from a decade ago with Stan Van Gundy, they do have new head coach Willie Green. I should have said that at the top and I didn't. The areas of improvements I had, which consistency is a great one to me, it's the 3-point shooting. And obviously I need the Pelicans to be better at defense overall, right? Like they were just a horrible defensive team. And so I need them to improve in that arena first. The question is Brandon Ingram, Zion combo, now you add JV, is this like a winning combo? Because Brandon Ingram's won 40% of his games in his career, and you can point to situation, but he's 159 and 231 in his career so far.
Wow.
So the surprising player for you, who's a surprising player for the Pelicans?
I really don't know where you go with them, because I think the X factor in them, I think it is Jonas. And so I'll stick with him just because I don't know if I have a chance to talk about him, you know, for a long time, just because he's on the arch rival of my hometown Grizzlies. But
interesting, because that was the thing, kind of wrap it up with the Pelicans. I know it went a little long, but they are a rival. So people, I think, will appreciate it a little more in depth. Maybe just Grizzlies fan. Maybe we're talking to the wrong demographic here, but I am interested to see that dynamic with JV and Zion, because Zion was 62% or something like that last year from around the basket, at least effective field goal percentage, I believe it was. And JV, virtually all of his baskets come from the inside. So I'm curious if the rebounding is going to offset the spacing woes for them together. It's not like there was great space for Zion last year with Steven Adams, who's more limited than JV on offense. And Zion still was an animal, averaging 27 points, you know? So I'm interested to see how that looks. I'm interested to see who they play around him, because I would probably put a premium on three-point shooting just to kind of spread as much as I can for those two and give Brandon Ingram hopefully a sliver of space to work with. But we'll just see, right? And right. Obviously we have them at 20th, so they're making the play-in. So there's that. But did we say surprising players, or did I just skip right over that?
You said something about a player, and that's when I picked JB.
Okay, I'm picking Trey Murphy. That was my guy in the draft. I'm sticking with him. He probably won't play much, but he'll play in spots, I should say. And dude, I think over the year, he'll get more playing time.
You literally just possibly tried to pencil him into the starting role, and now you're saying he's not going to get
any
time.
That was me.
Yeah, that's you're the same guy.
He's not going to at first. He's not going to at first, but he's going to over the season. He's going to pick up. But those were the options for starting lineup on who should be considered. Number 19, the Washington Wizards last year went 34-38, which was good for eighth in the East. Fired coach Scott Brooks. If you know anything about me, hallelujah. Goodbye, Scotty. May he torture another franchise in the future sometime, because some idiot's going to give him a job. But new head coach Wes Unseld, projected starters for this team, a lot of moving parts. Mm. So I think this is a very interesting team. Starters I have at point, or at the one. Sorry, we don't go by traditional standards anymore. At the one, right, we have Spencer Dinwiddie coming back from his, I believe it was an ACL injury. Bradley Beal, obviously. I have Kyle Kuzma starting over KCP. Rounding out that lineup, Rui Hachimura, of course, and then Daniel Gafford. And I did talk to our connects at Wizards Lead on their opinion of this, because I wasn't sure who would be starting at the five, if they would go with Denny Adija coming back from injury, or if he's going to take some time back. They're going to go more kind of space. And he told me that that reports out of camp is that Gafford is a lock for starting center, and it's virtually his to lose. So that rounds out my starting lineup. Do you like Kuzma starting over KCP or Dinwiddie playing the one? What is your reaction to this Wizards lineup? I just spitting it at you.
Yes. Yeah,
is it a fun team?
Yeah.
Are you interested?
I really do like this team. I think that they can be a surprise team. I know that, Westbrook carried them, in all honesty, during that stretch, because for, one, Bradley Beal was hurt, but also there's always been issues around Bradley Beal, whether it's his wife tweeting or somebody getting angry at, his wife tweeting. I don't know what's happening in life. I do believe that this team is a lot more balanced than they were. And I think this is now, it's always been, but now it's legit. It's Bradley Beal's team. They're going to go as he goes, but he has a lot of good players, but also some vets. And as you talked about Kuzma, I believe that that's the smartest thing you could do, is put Kuzma in the lineup, and he can play alongside Bradley Beal. You put KCP off the bench, just because I know there's only a 2-year difference there, but a 28-year-old coming off the bench, you can kind of help, have the older guy who can, and also, he wants to get his shots up. So you can more when you're playing on the bench and coming off that, that bench unit. And plus, he's going to play alongside as a sixth man, he's going to play alongside the rest of the group. So there's not much difference there.
Well, let me ask you real quick. Do you think this is a better team than what the Wizards had last year?
Yes.
You do. Okay. My first gut reaction to this is that I like this team more than last year's Wizards, and they made the 8th seed. Yeah. And I think based on our ratings, we have them at 8th or 9th again. I guess it has to be 9th or 10th, right? Based on what we have. And I mean, is this team going to go 34-38 again? I mean, like you said, Russell Westbrook did kind of power them when Bradley Beal went through his injury stuff. If Beal's there, Dinwiddie coming back from that ACL, do you think this is a team that starts slow again? I mean, they were ate up by COVID last year, and do you think maybe this is a start slow, get hot, you know, around December, and a team that could actually be higher ranked than we have them? Like, they could crack a 6th or 7th seed. Is that crazy to think about this roster?
No, it's not crazy, but like, they still do have their limitations, though. Let's just be honest. I don't know. Like, if I'm picking, you know, teams, you know, we're talking about, you know, just looking at some of the lower, you know, seeded people. The Hawks, I like them. Bulls, Knicks, Celtics, Pacers, Hornets. I like all those teams over the Wizards still. No matter what I'm looking at on the roster or even on the court, I still think, though, all those other teams are still better. That doesn't mean they're not better than last year. Last year, I feel like Westbrook got hot and he drove that team to being good. It's not because they were a good team. Westbrook played out of his mind for about a month straight. And that's the only reason they got to where they were. They were by a 12th seed for most of the year until 2 months to go in the season. And then all of a sudden they jumped back and end up finishing in the 8th seed. So let's not, you know, just because where they finished does not mean the team that they actually were. They were not a good team.
Yeah, maybe I should temper excitement a little bit just from the names, because Kyle Kuzma, you know, has been very inconsistent in his short career, but he has been playing with LeBron, and we all know what that's like playing with LeBron. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see him kind of not have a team, quote unquote, but he's kind of his own man now. Like, he's still with Bradley Beal and Spencer Dinwiddie, which are higher on the hierarchy than him. But it'd be interesting to see him on his own, because the strengths for this team, like you said, I have it as depth and versatility. I mean, they have Montrezl Harrell come off the bench, KCP, Thomas Bryant coming back from injury, Denny Avdija. I mean, there's a lot of interesting pieces. Drafted Corey Kispert. There's a lot of interesting pieces, and maybe it's a year thing, right?
Yeah,
maybe it's a year if they don't trade anybody, or if they panic trade Bradley Beal, which there's been no signs from GM Tommy Shepard that they're going to do that. They want to keep him. Beal has expressed that he wants to stay and build something here. Maybe this is a team that's in this 9 or 10, like we have them ranked. Maybe this is why we have them ranked here, a fill out year to see. And then maybe 2022 is the kind of year that we see them creep up higher in the standings. I mean, areas of improvement for this team right off. I think defense, I think health, like, yes. Bradley Beal's health. I know that's a bad thing for areas of improvement. Everybody can be a better three-point shooting team, right? Yeah. Everybody can be better at defense. Like, I don't know really how you improve health, but maybe the depth and versatility helps them with not putting so many miles on some of these guys. I mean, is there any other kind of strength or area of improvement you see potentially for this, what feels like brand new Wizards team?
Right. I was going to say just good luck is their needs of improvement. That's what they need with their health, because their luck has sucked. And I'm just looking at the roster, but some of the names that you mentioned, they're 10 deep that I feel okay with. Like, you could run 10 people out and that feels okay of a lineup, especially during the regular season, right? This isn't a 10 deep, you know, playoff team. I'm talking about 10 people,
right,
that can play a normal regular NBA basketball during the regular season, game 27. Yeah, I feel okay about all, you know, 10 of these guys. So I'm excited about this team, and I think they can be, like you said, a team that surprises people, but also somebody who could, you know, settle in having a decent year. And then, you know, Bradley Beal opts into his player option for the next year. And that's when they actually take off and become a 7 seed, maybe a 6 seed. I think that's probably their ceiling.
So let's move on to the last team in our group of here's hoping. And that is our own, the Memphis Grizzlies, number 18, who last year went 38-34, which was good for 9th. By a game, by losing to the Golden State Warriors. They got 9th, but they got the revenge and won the play-in.
Hey-o.
So they made the playoffs. Suck on that, Steph, if you're listening. I know he's a big fan, the Curley family. Head coach Taylor Jenkins, projected starters, Ja Morant, Dylan Brooks, Kyle Anderson, Triple J, also known as Jaren Jackson Jr. to anybody who is not familiar with the nickname, and Steven Adams. Would you agree with this starting five?
Whoa. I think so. The only thing is, like, I think that Kyle Anderson starts. I don't see why they would put in, you know, somebody else. So I'm going to go. Yeah, I think that's safe. But I know there could be some change in differing of opinions, but we'll stay with that.
Yeah, I think he has won over the trust of what he did throughout all last season, being the solid, steady player, and in the playoffs for the Grizzlies, that Taylor Jenkins is going to trust him. Like, yeah. I very much doubt that he's going to start a second year player in Desmond Bane, or a smaller player in D'Anthony Melton, or start a rookie at a reach at 10 in Zaire Williams. So, like, it seems by default that Kyle Anderson's going to start, but I think he has the trust of Taylor Jenkins. Strengths for this team. What's a strength for you, Daniel, since we are the Grizz 901? No one has better info on the Grizzlies than we do.
I think their strength is going to be chemistry, because they're pretty much bringing back the same team minus JV, right? There wasn't much change, even though there's a lot of moving and changing parts. There really wasn't much change to the actual people that play, right? It was kind of surrounding where people that kind of play, didn't really play. Okay, it was JV. That was the person they got rid of. Grayson Allen played, but realistically, I think he's easier to move out of the lineup and put in a Desmond Bane, who is playing, I think, going to have a crazy good year. But I think chemistry is going to be that, and as well as age, getting a little bit older will be good for this team. And I think it'll be one of their strengths now, because they are a young team, but they've been playing together for a while. So I think as they're growing and they're meshing, that chemistry is going to be what's their best, strength in, going forward.
Nice. I like that, because added on to that, I had perimeter depth and they have no expectations, just like last year. No one is expecting anything from this team, I don't think, outside of the Memphis market.
Right. Right.
Sure. Like, they got rid of everyone. Everyone on the outside looking in sees that Ja Morant is the future superstar, but people closely follow the NBA know that they traded away what people viewed as their first or second best player last year in Jonas Valanciunas. So I think everyone assumes this is just kind of like a free year. They're trying to figure it out. It's a transition. The famous phrase that everybody's saying that we have said, I feel like we coined this back in when the trade happened. I think you are attributed with this, is that they took the crutches away from Ja with having JV. So I think the no expectations actually helps them, because, like, people will have Ja on their radar. Like, people should have Triple J on their radar. But moving into areas of improvement, this is a team that still needs to improve on the three-point shot.
Yeah.
And Desmond Bane, they chose him clearly over Grayson Allen. So with JV moving on,
right
now with Steven Adams, who's not a proficient offensive rebounder or, a great touch around the basket, pound the paint, score, back to the basket guy, 50% of the Grizzlies offense came from there last year.
Okay.
How much does that change the Grizzlies, just their offensive game plan, by not having that crutch that people have said, that Ja needed?
But real quick, offensive rebounding, just so we're completely clear on this, Steven Adams is one of the best in the NBA. So I know we lost JV, and I get that completely. And I'll look up his stats in a second, but I believe that this team becomes instantly better on the glass, even though JV was really a monster. I do. JV was a monster on the glass. I think that this team can be better on the glass. And the reason is because we were looking for JV at times. And I think now Steven Adams will know his role. And I think it will be really just setting screens, which he does a really good job. So what we're taking from JV and Steven Adams here is, you say, hey, we're not going to throw it into the post to you a lot, right? And let you kind of do your own thing like we did JV. And
you're not going to never.
Right. And you're not going to take 3-point shots. But what JV did really good is setting screens and getting rebounds and playing defense for the most part. Like on the perimeter, he was torched. But so what do we get back with that? Steven Adams, as good of a defender, I'm sorry, as good of a screener, as good of an actual person who can just catch and put the ball in, which JV did a lot of. But I think somebody who can be a really, really good asset in rebounding, because that's going to be his job. So I do believe this team will be better, because I think that Steven Adams will step up rebounding wise. And so I know that's probably hoping more than just thinking, but I do think that they will be a much better rebounding team, because he will have that one job. And I think that's really what he's good at. And you don't have to play outside, you know, what your expectations and what you're actually good at. So I don't think there's, you know, going to be any leaning on anybody this year. And these players, I think, will step up.
I like it. I think the other interesting factor is Jonas Valanciunas was not somebody who was able to see the floor and make a pass. And Steven Adams has shown that ability out of pick and roll. He can kind of see, you know, little slick little handoffs to John, pick and roll, stuff like that. So that might actually be able to open things up if he's able to actually pass out the high post or on pin downs or curls and do little handoffs. So that is an interesting kind of thing for a wrinkle that the Grizzlies, that team should be looking forward to. Do you have a surprise player for the Grizzlies?
Well, it's, you know who it's definitely not? Zaire Smith.
John Conchar? Oh, Zaire Smith? Who the world is that?
Isn't that his name? Zaire Williams.
Is that even a guy there, right?
Yeah, how much I think he's going to be good. I think.
Listen,
I think
to us on the Grizz 901 podcast. We only talk about the Grizzlies. We don't even know their 10th pick name.
Right. Yeah, sorry. That one's on me. Surprise player, Brandon Clark. I think taking JV out of I think taking JB out of the lineup, you're going to allow Brandon, who I think has kind of took on the chin a lot last year, and COVID can affect people a certain way. Their sophomore season, you know, it's called the sophomore slump for a reason. I do believe that he'll take a step up this year. Fixing his shot would be the right direction to taking the step up. But I think that he's going to take his third year in the league. He's going to be his best year so far.
Well, let me give you the better surprise player, and it's a starter, and it's Triple J. I think he is due a bounce back year. I think this is a big tell year for Triple J, and I think he's going to be awesome. He only got to play like 14 games last year, so Grizz fans, chill out. Let's give him a full season. Fingers crossed that he's healthy. So right. That wraps up our here's to hoping tier, which, you know, the last couple teams, 20 to 18, made the play-in. But, you know, maybe there's hope that something, they might actually make the playoffs. So next tier that we have is the we made the playoffs, now what tier? So Daniel and Cody, I believe Cody, yes, Daniel and Cody will be back for that one. I still have to kind of toggle back and forth between that. So thank you for sticking with us while I've been cutting back and forth, trying to make it sound seamless, like it was fresh. But Daniel, anything to plug before we go?
Yeah, it's as seamless as your Wi-Fi there. That's how seamless it is.
What, tonight it seemed pretty good.
if you have a problem with Ryan's Wi-Fi, send me a message or a tweet, whatever you want to do. I'm at Daniel Greer. I want to know if you get annoyed as much as I do about it, because I feel like I'm talking to Robot Meadows half the time.
Really? I felt like I was pretty clear and crisp the whole time.
It's all right. You'll hear it in the morning. For real though, this is, you know, obviously Free Basketball, the podcast network. It has 1 week under its belt. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to all the shows, but if you didn't, go ahead and go back, check out some of the guys. It was, it surprised me, and I'm the guy who put this all together. But it surprised me with how professional, some of the shows sounded, the content that they provided. And I know I'm a homer completely. But I was very, very happy and satisfied with how everything went. If you have any advice, constructive criticism, feel free. You can send it to me. I'm at Daniel Greer. You can send it over to the lead at the lead SM. But give us a chance and tell your friends about it. Subscribe. That's the biggest thing is we want to build this up. But we had a really great week. It surprised me. I thought we wouldn't do as good, just because we went from zero, to, a lot of listeners. So if you're listening to this, thank you. We do drop our show every Monday. So just come back here every single Monday and either me or Ryan or maybe Cody, probably not Cody, will be here. So we'll be around.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in to another team preview tier for free basketball. Like Daniel said, go to the Lead Podcast Network. Subscribe so you get it all in your feed. Updates every morning. You can listen every morning to what we have going on this. But we appreciate you listening to this again. Till next time, Daniel, I will see you at the next tier. Maybe talking about a little Grizzlies for some Grizz 901. I don't know. But it's going to be fun. So everybody have a good rest of the week. We will see you guys on the next tier preview.